club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation to this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Oh, there's football on the horizon, MG, but it is a Friday, and normally we would finish a Friday edition with blankety blanks, but yeah, MG, announcement to the masses, there will be no blankety blanks today.
Oh.
Because you predicted the Sharkies to finish 13th.
I did.
And somebody with influence and power and profile has cracked it. And they are ready to run into this studio and give you what for?
I believe the number two ticket holder.
Scott Morrison, that's right. Scott Morrison will Scotty be joining
Morrison's
us.
Scotty Morrison's number one, the ScoMo, and number two is a thespian who has been plying his trade in England for a while, and he's back and he's angry.
Brendan Cowell, one of Australia's great actors, will join us in studio. He's written a poem, MG. That's how mad he is. See, when you annoy footballers, they get physical. When you annoy artists, they get physical with the pen.
The pen, the pen is mightier than the sword?
Exactly. Well, we'll find out just how mighty it is after 6:30. Brendan Cowell to join us in studio. But up next, we got to start it off. There's trial games ahead this weekend, the Charity Shield, but there's one name that still is front and centre. It is Joseph Suaalii. MG, should he be allowed to play before his 18th birthday? I want you to answer that question for us next. Rush Hour with MG and Liam, Triple M.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7pm weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
Oh, this is the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. Bit of Barnsley to get us started on a Friday edition, MG.
We're all one of them. We're all working class men, aren't we?
Absolutely. Well, we've got a working class actor coming in just after 6:30. He's Brendan Cowell, one of Australia's greats. Not very happy with your prediction for his beloved Sharks, so he's storming into the studio just after 6:30. But first up, let's do this.
Trending now.
We've got football to talk about, MJ.
Oh, how good. You know what? As I said on the show a few days ago, my little ritual of the morning, I go to the service station and get the paper and a little chocolate milk and sit down at home and read the paper. And today, all the NRL trial teams.
Yeah, it's all happening. Now, there's some particularly that we want to get to, the Charity Shield being one of those. But first up, a reserves game that we need to speak about. Now,
can you believe they're streaming this? Okay,
they
I was streaming,
are streaming this.
This.
It is quite unbelievable. I reckon the last time a TV station adjusted their programming for a teenager, it was something to do with a Kardashian at some point. But
Or a Bieber or someone.
Exactly. Hannah Montana. No, Joseph Suaalii is making his debut for the North Sydney Bears. He'll be taking on the Canberra Raiders reserves before the big boys in the first grade. Let's talk about this, man. Joseph Suaalii, 17 years of age, turns 18 August 1st. MG, before you tell me if you think he should be allowed to play, this is what Aaron Woods, who came in during the week, had to say about Joseph Suaalii making his debut before his 18th birthday.
Yeah, the rules are 18 years old. I just don't like people changing the rules all the time just to suit one team. And, you know, it's not good enough. We had a bloke, Bronson Cherry, we had to wait to debut him. So, yeah, it didn't work too well for us.
No.
But they're trying to look after the kids because how many times have you seen a young kid come to first grade and then they disappear for a while because they've had a lot of injuries or they've just been, you know, overshadowed by it?
Yeah, I get it. I get where Woodsy's coming from. It's a conundrum for me because I'm with the old adage, if you're good enough, you're old enough. You know, there's some kids out there who are just born to play first grade and it doesn't matter what age they are, they were just born to play it. And I think we'll find out that Joseph Suaalii is one of them kids. Let's be real here. This kid is a specimen of an athlete. In year six at Regionville Primary School, he played rep, league, AFL and basketball and could have been a pro at any of them. He actually, in year seven, was 6'4", and this kid is just a juggernaut of a sportsman. He's just a juggernaut of a sportsman, and I can't wait to watch him play. KO can't wait to watch him play. They're streaming his game. I think sometimes these special kids come along. Sometimes they come along, and sometimes the rules have got to be broken for them. That's what rules are there for, to be broken, aren't they, really? He should be eligible to play. And look, if he gets through unscathed on this trial game, and I think he will be, if everything is we hear about him and see about him and hear about him is accurate, well, he's going to be a sensational superstar.
I can't wait to see him as well. Do you think part of the, I guess, the hands in the air from other clubs and as Woodsy expressed the other day, might be the fact that it is the Roosters that
could
be set to benefit from a bending of the rules?
No doubt. I think the Roosters are just, you know, because they've been so successful over the years, everyone looks at them and goes, oh, there they go again. But they're just a beautifully run football club. they've got the same chairman for 30 years. The coach there is just such a level-headed bloke. They've got so many good people around them. You know, Sonny Bill Williams and Cooper Cronk is in and out of the club doing different things. So everyone's jealous of the Roosters. They're successful. Who, you know, yeah. And they're in Sydney. If Melbourne Storm were in Sydney, we'd hate them as much as we hate the Roosters. That's just one of them things. But I just wish that we'd have a horses for courses, cases for cases type attitude when it comes to these young superstars coming through to our game.
Andrew Abdo making his way over the Spit Bridge back home to Manly. I hope you're listening. I hope you're taking MG's words on board. And a bit of breaking news, MG, for your club late this afternoon. Jerome Luai, a new 3-year contract extension, keeping him at the Panthers till the end of 2024.
Fantastic news. That is absolutely fantastic news. That's on the back of, obviously, Stephen Crichton signing till the end of 2023 just a few days ago. And that is massive for Panthers. That means that their premiership window has just grown by at least 3 seasons with these two signing on, along with Nathan Cleary, an extended deal. So they've got their halves for the next at least 4 years, and they've got a strike centre till 2023. So the future looks bright, baby. I've got to wear shades.
That makes them the envy of the NRL, I reckon, with Cleary and Luai, both young halves who know each other so well and clearly play so well together. To have those, the 6 and 7, locked away, outstanding.
It is. It's a massive coup. And well done to the Panthers. Well done to Matty Cameron. And he's the general manager of rugby league there. And obviously Ivan would have a big effect on that. And these teammates. He's a Mount Druitt boy. A lot of similarities with myself, I suppose. Mount Druitt men. And we played for St Mary's before we went to grade. And I think his enthusiasm just infects the whole team. Young Romy does. He's just that type of player that no matter what jersey he's got on, he's always going to make those around him play better. And last year was an indication that with young Nathan Cleary, how well he played. And that was all because of the infectious personality of Jerome Luai.
All right, there you go. Jerome Luai sticking around at the Panthers for another 3 years. MG's going to be insufferable for another 3 years. This is The Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. MG's ladder continues next. Who will finish 7th? Let's find out.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's The Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M, your Friday edition. We love a Friday, MG.
Nothing better.
Now, we are about 10, 15 minutes away from our very special guest joining us in studio who is ready to rip into your prediction for his beloved Sharkies.
He must be really angry to come all the way from the Shire to come and remonstrate with me about where the Sharks come. But look at him. He's peeved.
One of Australia's great actors, Brendan Cow, going to join us in studio to tear MG to shreds. But first, we need to talk about your ladder, MG. We're up to 7.
The ladder.
MG's ladder.
Well, if you thought yesterday was a bit of a shock with the Tigers coming in at 8th, today in 7th position, in my opinion, as always, is the... Liam, hope you're sitting down. The Gold Coast Titans.
Too low.
I think, look, it's the time is nigh, isn't it? There's so much hype about the Titans. Since they've been rebooted back in 2007, they haven't done much, really. They've been a major, major underachiever in the NRL. Apart from 09 and 010 when they made the prelim finals, 2016 they came 8th and got bundled out the first round. But since then or before, even in the middle of then, they've never really raised the whimper. I like the fact that they've recruited beautifully. Two of the best young forwards in the game have found their way on the Gold Coast. And, of course, I speak of Tino Fasua-Mala'awi, young David Fifita, who is, at his day, probably the most damaging back rower in the game. So you combine that with AJ Brimson, Ash Taylor, who was reborn when Jamal Fogarty came into the team last year, just seemed to give him so much more freedom. And Fogarty seemed to relish the role of being the playmaker. You know, having that older head, he's 26, 27, made his debut late in his career. I think that was good for the Titans. And I think the fact that they've got a lot of number nines to pick from this year, which is fantastic. Their spine looks enormous. If they've got, say, someone like AJ Brimson, Taylor and Fogarty, and you've got Mitch Rain, but then you've got these two young kids, Tanner Boyd and Aaron Clark, who are nipping at the heels of the number nine, just to keep him honest. So I think they'll play finals footy, and I think they'll come 7th this year, the Titans.
The other thing I think, MG, with all the big names turning up, with Fifita and Fasua-Mala'awi, and all the excitement that exists, the thing I think a lot of people might be overlooking with, I go back to July last year, Mal Meninga's comments about Justin Holbrook. Mal Meninga, few more respected in the game, has declared that Justin Holbrook, by the end of his career, will be one of the all-time great coaches. And so I'm excited to see him with 12 months of having his feet under the desk, what he can, this type of football he gets this team playing.
Yeah, he seems to be one of them real reserved type of coaches. It's not a ranter or a raver. A real student of the game. And when you're a football player, you learn a lot off coaches like that. You just, you know, because you know they're measured and you know they've got your back. And you're right. I think someone like Brian Kelly, who is a dangerous player. He's a real dangerous player for opposing centres. You got Proctor, Tino, and Fifita in the back row with Wallace and Mo Fuduaka up front with, you know, as I said, one of the nines. And the back line could look like Brimson, Corey Thompson, Herbert, Brian Kelly, Philip Sammy. That's got a lot of points in that back line, and that's leaving out the Don. Sacre bleu, the Don's left out. And then they've got some, you know what they've got this year? They've got depth. Mm. I mentioned the two young blokes in nine. They've got Sam Lassone, you've got Sam Stone, Jai Whitbread. But these two young kids, keep an eye on these two guys, Jamin Jolliffe and Bo Firma. Okay. Both made their way into first grade last year, and both will be probably coming off the bench early on, but expect them to play a lot of minutes in first grade.
Oh, I like it, MG. I'll take it. Seventh position for the Titans this season. They're taking on the Warriors this weekend in a trial game in Lismore. We love a former friend of the show, Nathan Brown, best newcomer on air in 2020, but frankly, I hope the Titans give him a pantsing.
He listens to the podcast. You want to reverse that?
No, I love you, Brownie. I'll slap you later. Hey, this is the Rush Hour with MG and Liam on Triple M. A very special guest. He's waiting outside the studio. Can't wait to get him in. Brendan Cowell joins us next.
You're listening to the Triple M Rush Hour with MG, 6 to 7 p.m. weekdays on 104.9 Triple M.
It's the Rush Hour with MG and Liam Flanagan on Triple M. We are coasting into the weekend, MG. It's sniffing distance away. We have had some fantastic guests in studio so far this year.
We had some amazing ones.
We've had Jason Saab, Joey Arrow. We had Woodsy early on in the week.
Yeah, Wednesday, Woodsy.
This is a first for us, though.
Yes.
A thespian.
A thespian and a fanatic or Sharks supporter.
And a diehard Sharky supporter. Fanatical. And a man who's quite good with the spoken word,
yes.
MG, which might make you feel a bit insecure.
And he got very angry. He's a very angry man at the moment, too.
Fired up. It is an absolute pleasure to welcome in one of Australia's finest actors, writer, actor, producer. He does it all. Brendan Cow.
Yeah.
G'day, Brendan.
Hey, guys. Great to be here. Thank you for having me in.
Well, we know you're a fanatical Sharkies, man. You have been for a long, long time. Before we get into why you're in the studio, what made you go for the Sharkies?
Well, I grew up there in Cronulla. So I was playing, you know, you get thrown a football at age of three or four. And so I was playing in the under sixes at 4 years old. And, you know, and your sister's dating one of the players, all
Jonathan
that kind of stuff.
Jonathan Docking or something.
Jonathan Docking. You know, you just, Shark Park was mecca.
Oh, yeah.
That was everything. And then
what
I
were you,
kind
four,
of.
Were you forward or a back?
I was 5'8", actually, and then I went to fullback because I tackled around the legs. I was a bit of a lawnmower like Michael Speechley, you know what I mean?
One of the best of all time.
You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So yes. I was quite good with the tackling. But then I swapped the kind of physical pain of rugby league to the emotional pain of the arts guys got really big. And
you kicked ass there.
Yeah, I've done all right recently. You know, it took a while, but it's going nice. Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to what you've been up to because you have been up to some fantastic, amazing things. But you have come in hot because...
Yeah, I'm hot.
Because it's fair to say MG has been, as we've been working our way through the non-final teams, as you've been predicting them, MG has been copping a fair bit of flack. Aaron Woods, I was impressed, MG, that you said to Aaron Woods straight to his face, I don't think you're making finals this year.
Yeah, I think he was very reserved with his opinion.
Yeah.
And I thought... He held his nerve well.
Yeah, but Brendan, you have come in.
Oh, he's a different.
You've come in armed to the teeth with words.
Yes,
to rebut Mr. Guy and his prediction for your Sharkies.
The pen is far mightier than the sword, as
and
we
the
all
microphone.
Know. But you know, it really got under my skin. I love your guys' show. You got me through 5 months of lockdown last year, so I feel like you're part of my life. You guys don't know that, of course, that I'm sitting there nude in London, listening to you every morning. But, yeah, when you come up with 13th, I thought you better not. And it just hurt deep. And I thought, what better way to deal with pain than to write it out? So here I am with a poem for Mark.
I'm the nervous. Floor is yours, I'm Mr. Nervous. Cow.
It's called The Sharks of September. It was about a week ago when the wave rolled in. And like all new tsunamis, horror shook the scene. The day Mark Geyer gripped the mic and said that the Sharks would come 13th. Octopuses exploded. Coral changed colour, mud crabs shimmered in the dark. How did this land panther MG not know that you never underestimate a shark? As the number one fan next to our intrepid PM, whom I only ever saw at the game after he got the top job, nice branding, Scotty, you down-to-earth guy, Here are 10 reasons why the Mighty Sharks will make the 8, which even MG at his most active will surely not deny. Marky boy, my M4 baby, you say we're out of form. Well, check your iCal, son. 'Twas only 5 years ago that we did what the weary Clearys could not and took the trophy from the Storm. Number 2, a shark is never wrong. So I say, haters, may you halt. Sharks lure in the murky riot waters. Even peptides are not our fault. Number 3, Northies.
Oh, yeah.
Number 4, to say our premiership window has closed is madness utter crap. If I was a betting man, I'd say you'd have better luck catching the Viking clap. Number 5, you still hate the Sharks? Then Paul Gallen will happily fight you on Main Event for $500,000 cash. Number 6, what other club's team song has a piano solo? Number 7, if you don't believe we'll make the 8, then ask the PM and he will delegate to a state minister. Number 8, Wade Graham, Josh Dugan, Sean Johnson, Matt Moylan. None of these blokes get injured. We just hold them back to keep you on your toes. Number 9, if you still doubt our lethal attack, have a gurgle. Climb out of the dark. At least once a day across our nation, someone is eaten by a shark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good.
Fat kids, tourists, middle-aged servers, we don't care. We'll take the 2 points anywhere. Number 10, that's right, I'm nearly there.
It's for 20.
2021 is the year of the shark. In the waters of NRL, no one is safe. So have a second look at things, MG, and stop selling us out as flake. Cronulla Sharks, I'm proud to be a member. Cronulla Sharks, going to go deep in September.
Oh. Outstanding.
Adieu, Sir Fonz, adieu.
Oh, my goodness. I mean,
that was awesome.
So many highlights for me.
I take it back. I take it back.
How much did you pay Brendan Cowell to get MG active into his poem?
Mate, I'm flabbergasted.
Do I get a free pack of Zumba glasses or something for that?
Well done. Well done,
clearly,
sir.
I've got too much time on my hands.
I was about to say you've been busy, haven't you? But no.
Are we still in 13th, MG?
No, you make the 8.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, you make the 8.
Brendan, we need to talk about some of your other fantastic work, though.
Absolutely.
You've been a busy man for the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Where have you been?
Yeah, I moved to London about 5 years ago. I just thought, you know, I was a bit restless and I thought I'd have a crack and see how I went. And, you know, if the worst thing happened, I'd come back with my tail between my legs. But I did a bit of theatre over there that kind of got me noticed and ended up in Game of Thrones. And then the last couple of years, I've been in New Zealand shooting the Avatar sequels.
Oh, wow.
Just a little New Zealand independent film that they're making
awesome.
Over there.
How awesome.
So that's just been, you know, an absolute expansive experience in terms of filmmaking, working with James Cameron. And
How'd you get the gig?
Well, yeah, I ended up playing Galileo, the scientist, in a play at the Young Vic, and Chemical Brothers did the soundtrack. Joe Wright, the filmmaker, directed it, and it was a really wild production of an old play. And the casting director just came, and the next thing I was on a plane to LA for like a 3-day audition with Jim.
Jim Cameron,
you know, no pressure.
Wow.
it was hard because I had to learn about 25 pages of dialogue, but I couldn't take the script with me. So you go in this room with a guard watching you and your phone in a locker, and I'm trying to get this, the lines in your head.
No way.
And then go down to the set with 6 cameras and the live action actors. Hopefully, you know, but it's really hard to learn dialogue when you're stressed.
So you
want to trying to inject it into your brain. And you're like, so I just went down there and somehow managed to pull it off. And so the last couple of years I've been with him and a lot of New Zealand crew, and they're a wonderful family, all the Avatar guys.
Other than that, you've also got a book out at the
yes.
moment.
So,
yeah. So did this all happen in isolation? Did you write the book in isolation? How did the book?
Yeah, well, London, last year I went back to kind of, because Avatar was meant to go in April, I went back in March to pack up my house into storage and come out to Australia and New Zealand for the year. But of course, you know, that whole, the Panny D, the pandemic grabbed us, and the next thing I know, I had 5 months in the basement flat, went a bit mad. Listened to you guys a lot, and I thought, well, you know, I've got this book in my head, and I thought, well, here's a chance. Everything's on pause, so I just went for it, and it came out pretty well. And so HarperCollins are releasing it in October. It's called Plum. It's about an ex-football player, Cronulla Shark. Deep in September Sharks, and it's about a bloke, you know, he's had 1,000 head knocks, and then after his football life, he discovers he's got a few issues there with his mental well-being. And he's got a decision whether to kind of, you know, treat his body and his mind well, or and that could, you know, go bad. And then he discovers a passion for poetry, so which kind of saves him a bit. So it's kind of about, you know, that second part of your life after sport, and whether you kind of, you know, hit the piss and gamble and give up, or you kind of make something of it. You know what I mean? And that means changing and being emotional and communicating and all that kind of stuff. So it's dealing with all those issues that I think are quite pertinent.
It's going to hit home for a lot of ex-footy players.
Well, it's in the spotlight. You know, it's why we changed the concussion rules. It's why HIA is now such a massive part of our game, because once when it was like a, you know, a big tick next to your name if you went back on the field with a head knock, now you're a buffet. There's no way in the world you'd even have a second thought about going back on the field if you had a head knock. But back in my game, back in my day, they'd say to you, the coach would come to you at half time, and you'd feel about 10 other players looking at you.
Yeah.
Waiting for what your answer would be when you'd say, you're right to go back on. You go, yep, I'm right. But you wouldn't know where you were.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't know where you were.
So that's the idea of kind of being a heroic male, which is that kind of stuff. And now I'm kind of pushing the idea that maybe being a heroic male is putting your hand up, going, I need some help.
Big time.
You know what I mean? And maybe that's courage now.
That's more courage than anything.
So it kind of plays with that idea what masculinity
excellent.
Is.
Excellent, excellent.
The conversation has changed, absolutely. So that book comes out in October?
Comes out, October in all good bookstores and probably a couple of shit ones, I don't know.
Probably grand final week for the Sharks and Panthers.
That's it. Yeah. So, a couple of signed copies coming your way.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Outstanding. Brendan Cowell, we appreciate your time. We will have you back in to talk about that book when it is closer to its release. Beautiful. In October, the movies, all the rest of it. Thank you as always.
Pleasure.
Great poem.
The finest writing that this show has seen in its 4-year history, that's for sure. Hey, yeah, MG, we got to go.
As always, thank you so much for your ears all week. We really appreciate it. Stay safe this weekend. He's Brendan. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.